I am Plante on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. We hear about prison reform a lot, whether it's for prisons here in Canada or the United States. Christopher Zoukas is a writer who has spent his time in prison writing books and pieces for such publications as the Huffington Post about what life is like behind bars and how education can be one's salvation and a way out for a lot of people. Not necessarily to get out of jail sooner, but perhaps better. He is the author of College for Convicts, A Case for Higher Education in American Prisons. It is published by McFarland & Company. Mr. Zoukas is appearing on the program today to talk about his experiences in prison, and his appearance is no reflection on the charges that landed him in prison. You can go to his website, ChristopherZoukas.com, to read all about the reasons to which he is incarcerated. As an inmate, he was only allowed 15 minutes on the phone. He spoke to me this past Sunday afternoon. Please welcome to the Plante Online program at Federal Corrections Institute Petersburg in Prince George County, Virginia, Christopher Zoukas. Mr. Zoukas, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
When we talk about prison reform, let's be clear, as an inmate, you're not saying do away with prisons. You're just saying that they have a purpose, but they just need to be better run. Is that right?
Absolutely. I think when you look at the research on corrections, incapacitation, i.e. Incarceration, it's effective, but it's not as effective as it could be. And it's a very expensive solution to crime. I mean, there are other options, such as prison education and rehabilitation, that reduce recidivism rates and create better people without a very much lower cost point than incarceration.
And what's your experience been like within prison? I mean, were you able to have the resources to, say, get an education, to get the counseling, the therapy that you've needed, say?
It's a hard question. I've been at several prisons over the last 10 years. Every prison is different. Largely, the prison systems do not offer meaningful programming. So for the courses and programs and classes and therapy groups that are offered are very limited in scope, and most prisoners can't get into them. Where I have been able to kind of reinvent myself, though, is through correspondence education, which is at my family's cost, so my parents have to pay for that. Unfortunately, most prisoners don't have outside support to be able to afford such courses.
So we all know the benefits of education. So those that don't seek it or can't, because there aren't the resources in prison, within prison, once they get out, what are the challenges that they'll face, say?
You know, the American economy now is not doing very well. So when you look at a prisoner, first of all, prisoners by and large have a fifth or sixth grade education. So they're not, I think they're people with a lot of potential, but people who don't have the skills and resources to be able to utilize kind of the person that they could be. So with that being said, they're leaving prison with a GED at best. Maybe they have a high school diploma going in, so maybe a high school diploma at best. And then they're having to compete in the labor market against other people who, you know, don't have a criminal record, and ideally who have at least an associate's degree in college. I mean, it's very, very hard for a person like that to distinguish themselves from a person who's, you know, by the law all along.
So if we know that it is effective, that it can save us costs in the long run, why aren't governments, say, spending more on education, on these things that they ought to be spending money on?
You know, you raise a good point. I think that the social science researchers understand that correctional education really is the most cost-effective, proven method of reducing recidivism that we know of. I mean, it's right now the average in the United States is $32,000 a year to incarcerate someone, yet it costs around $1,400 a year to educate them at the college level. The problem that we're seeing here is that it's not very palpable for the American public to support this. So an American father, for example, would say, hey, I have to pay for my kid to go to college. Why should a prisoner get it for free? And politicians who are elected say, well, I have to keep my constituents happy with me. So obviously, you know, that's the line I'm going to go on. Well, unfortunately, we're not giving the money where the money is necessary to fix people. It feels better to punish than to fix. So I think that's part of the problem.
And for you, because people can go to your website and read about your story and what happened in your situation, was education, was writing, was those two things, that was salvation for you, wasn't it?
You know, it was. I think spending a lot of time in prison, there are a couple ways you can go. And most of the kind of the people you can develop into, the types of persons you can develop into for after doing a decade in prison, there's not many are good. I had to find a way to make something of nothing. So the path, a healthy path in prison, generally speaking, is not available. I mean, you come to prison and you become a worse person. And I have to be mindful of some of the negative character traits that I've picked up from being living in places like this. But there is salvation in the few of the pro-social activities, the few of the productive activities that you can do in prison. For me, that's meant a lot of correspondence education, it's meant a lot of reading, and it's meant a lot of writing. And that's kind of given me some purpose in my life, and purpose I hope will kind of, you know, be the wind to my sails as I get out.
And so you've written this book, College for Convicts. There was a previous one as well, is that correct?
Yes, sir. Education Behind Bars.
Yeah, and so what's the response been for these books? Because College for Convicts has been out for a while now. Who's reading them?
Yeah, the response has been overwhelmingly positive. I've had very few negative comments about it. I mean, obviously, some of the there are some people who think that, you know, prisons should become much more violent and much more unenjoyable for prisoners. But for those that really listen to the message, it seems to resonate with them. And this isn't just, it's not just prisoners and their families. I mean, correctional educators, people who teach in prison or who do research on the teaching in prisons, they really have found this to be an important work because it kind of collects all the in-depth social research in the arena and puts in a readable format, a format that can be useful when dealing with public policy concerns. Because a politician, you know, a senator or a congressman doesn't...
call it from a federal prison.
Sorry. A politician or a senator or congressman doesn't really want to be, you know, get bogged down in all of the intensive research. They want to see what the right answer is. And I think College for Convicts helps to give the right answer in a very clear and concise way.
How long have you served and how much time have you got left, Chris?
I've been in since I was 20, so I'm coming up on 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And I will be out in 2018, so I'll be 32.
Regardless of what people know about you or why you're in prison or anybody else that's in prison, I guess people want to know whether the time in prison has made you, say, contrite, because I can understand why some people can be in prison and then get out and then feel embittered, revengeful even. Do you have those feelings? I mean, are you more compassionate, do you think? Are you able to forgive still?
You know, you ask good questions. I would say that, first of all, I accept full responsibility for the poor decision-making that landed me here. I absolutely my fault. I accept that. But coming into prison, I mean, I caught my state case as a high school student. I was a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much growing up in prison, I find that it's frustrating, kind of missing life. You know, I've lost my 20s to prison. But on the flip side of that, I think that I've really grown up. I mean, these cases stem from when I was 18 years old. I'm 29 now. I've learned a lot. I've grown a lot. And I think I've found the way that can help other people do the same thing. I mean, prison doesn't have to be a detriment. Prison can actually help you when you get out, you know, much to the chagrin of, you know, it's an interesting thing.
Yeah, for a lot of people, though, as I said, it can leave them bitter. It can lead to reoffending, if you will, when they get out. So, what's been the sort of the guiding, the spirit for you? I mean, have you, what makes you, say, learn from your past, and how has that helped in terms of moving forward?
Absolutely. You know, you can, and I think it's the worry of all fathers and mothers who have kids that go to prison. It's, are they going to come out a convict? I mean, that's cut and dried. Are they going to become a hardened criminal? And the answer is that some will. But I think that by looking at choices, I mean, regardless of being in prison, at least for me, regardless of being in prison, I have found that I still have the ability to make the right and wrong choices. And as long as I and my fellow prisoners continue to make the right choices day after day, then we come out better people. Or we can make the wrong choices and get involved in the prison gang culture and the drug culture and drinking, and then we run into other sorts of problems that kind of make people more stubborn, more hardened. You know, the traditional idea of a convict.
The depictions that we're used to in film and or television, I mean, are they accurate to what life is actually like in prison?
Yes and no. It really depends on the prison where you're at. I can say the prison where I'm currently incarcerated, which is a medium security federal prison, it's a fairly controlled facility, so there isn't a whole ton of violence. There's not a whole ton of kind of gangs running rampant. But when I started my time back at, we would call the prisons gladiator schools. It was an incredibly violent experience. Even the guards wouldn't be in the housing units because it was too violent for them to be walking around alone. They would literally stay behind a plexiglass barrier so that the inmates couldn't get to them. So what I would say is that in terms of the media, most prisons are probably not that extreme, but some prisons are much, much worse.
And because in this country, in Canada, we're in the midst of an election campaign. The current government has built a number of prisons. I guess that's not the answer, is it?
It is not. And, if we look at prisons from a public policy standpoint, you know, incarceration, it works. It stops people from committing crimes in the community. It's incapacitation. But the problem is, at least in the United States, 95% of prisoners of one day get out. So the real question we have to ask ourselves is, do we want to build more prisons? So building more prisons, do we want our neighbor, our future neighbor, to be someone who is educated in prison? Or do we want them to be someone who is busy fighting? You know, looking next door, do you want your neighbor to be employed or at least have the opportunity, the fighting chance to be employed? Or do you want him brewing hooch all day? Honestly, I'd rather my neighbor, you know, be successful post-prison so I don't have to worry about the kind of problems that come when they don't get employment.
And so if people want to get a hold of you, I guess they can get a hold of you through your website. Is that right? There's an email there or a means to communicate with you. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I have a dedicated team outside of prison that helps kind of me with my prison advocacy work. You can go to ChristopherZoukas.com, and through there you can usually get a hold of me. In terms of prison education, though, we operate PrisonEducation.com, which is where a lot of my research is published.
Christopher, it's been quite informative to talk to you today. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
You too, sir. Thank you.
The book is called College for Convicts, The Case for Higher Education in American Prisons. It's published by McFarland & Company. Christopher Zoukas joined me on the line from FCI Petersburg near Hopewell, Virginia. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plunton.